Wait a minute.
The purpose of what we were looking at, and I'm sorry, I just totally, when I told you about what was going on, I forgot the list. But it's the idea that the place at which you're, that you feel as a trespass has occurred is the place in which your feelings are hurt. And so that's where I asked each person to, as a trigger mechanism, to talk about what it was that hurt their feelings, except for September. And with September, it has to be what makes her sad, because she's evil.
We're not.
She is.
No.
Yeah. What?
Tell
what story are you going to tell?
Last night we were talking about making lists, and I said, I wish I was Liz, because it would be so easy. You just put down everything. And she goes, that hurts my feelings.
You trespasser.
It was great. She did it so unconsciously.
Did you really?
She really did.
I made it a joke.
Exactly what's hurt.
She really felt that way.
Aww. Don't you just love victims?
And then I need him in the growing, but no.
We should just do this first and get all the rest of them out of the way.
No, she just says everything. Let's do Harry.
I didn't do a list, but I'm doing it now.
Okay, who's got one?
Deborah has one.
I don't want to go far. The first one I put down was seeing and understanding man's or just people's evil. I mean, really seeing it. It's like when it really hits me. For some reason, I can walk around for days and stuff can be happening around me, but when I really finally recognize it, it's incredibly sad. Like, I think the reason probably it's on the top of my list is from seeing the movie Dancing with Wolves on a Friday night. I couldn't stop crying when I saw that movie. It made me so sad. So, and that basically was what hit me in that movie, was how evil man truly was. And the movie doesn't paint a good picture of anybody, really. It just shows how evil everybody is. Second one, and this is a biggie for me too, is cruelty to animals. That one just drives me crazy. I can't hardly handle that. And that movie had both of those in it. Fourth, I put down betrayal by a friend. It's when I feel like somebody has betrayed me. There's probably more, but those are the big ones. Those are the ones I have on my list. Normally, when I go and listen to everybody else's stuff, I normally make my list about 10 times longer. Going first kind of shoots that method.
You want to go next?
Yeah.
Well, it was really hard. I realized when I was making this list I think in group speak. It's like we have this language here, and it, there's nothing you can say that, it's just hard for me to put things in my word. The first thing I put was when I feel excluded. The second thing I put is when I disappoint people. Third is when people are rude for no apparent reason. The fourth is when I've been betrayed or feel like I betrayed someone. And the fifth is when someone I respect criticizes my work.
Next. You go?
Yeah, I'll go.
If this is going to be one of those forever lists, though.
No, it's not a forever list. Actually,
this has got more than 7-8 items on it.
It's got 9.
Well, leave one off.
War and Peace, though. This
is not
just under the wire.
Just under the, you got 12 items on the list.
Press 9
items. Thanks, Carr.
What'd she say?
Feeling left out of things. Boy, that's a picture of pride. Being yelled at, like in the tones people use in their voice. When people are condescending to me, when I feel.
What?
Yeah. Like that, asshole!
That was great.
feeling I get my feelings hurt a lot. Disapproval, like, you know, never being able to like, talk to my parents and make them understand what I'm about and just feeling that disapproval or judgment from them. And then, like, when people are really rude to me. And I don't know if really that really hurts my feelings or if it just pisses me off, so.
Depends on who does it.
So.
Yeah. Their own importance.
Right. That's it. I condensed it for you. I just kind of put it together.
Okay. Anybody else ready?
Yeah. Being left out or feeling of being forgotten. That matter if it's conversations or activities.
Well, let's go ahead and do Lee's next thing.
Suicide.
Someone,
what?
So
yours next.
Did you really want? That's fine.
No, I was just being a smart.
Someone lying to me or betrayal. And it's like synonymous is withdrawing. Somebody withdraws from me.
Okay. Harry.
So similar to Liz's, it's spooky, but that doesn't really surprise me. Ignored, slighted, taken for granted, ridiculed. Those are the things that really hurt my feelings.
Ha, Nick.
It kind of depends on just what part of the month it is.
Really?
That's true. That's right. For no apparent reason.
Yeah, maybe that is
so accurate. That's funny.
Daryl.
For a long time, I couldn't think of one. Really, I think there's only one. I don't want to say being left out, but that's not really it. It's like being left out when there's something interesting to do that I think I could be a part of. Like if you were going to go edit something and you didn't mention it or say something. You know, it's not... Now, you did invite me to a party. I could care less about that necessarily, but being left out of something that with skill or ability or something could have been used, then my feelings are hurt, whether it's at work or wherever. Then I go back to my office and sit down.
Turn paper.
Anything else? Crystal?
Okay. My first one is what I talked about on Sunday night about being ignored. And that I realized since then it goes as far as when you know when you're walking past somebody in the hall or you're walking past somebody and they just they still don't speak to you. But it really gets to me. And also being treated, you know, in a utilitarian way, because just to be used for to get something or to achieve something. And I feel like I'm put in a place of inferiority over something that I have or that I don't have, you know, that isn't good enough or something. When everyone is asked how they feel about something or they think about something and I'm not asked. And the last one is when I'm talked down to instead of asked, finding out what I know and what, you know, what I think about or what I know about the subject.
I guess it's whenever I feel that when people don't listen to me or take me serious, and when I feel excluded, or when I'm being yelled at, or just feeling betrayed by someone else, those things hurt me.
Well, what was the... the predicate for these, where you had your feelings hurt. There's not many things, really, and the things that there are obviously are most. Huh?
I was pretty amazed by that. It's about the same list.
Yeah, and the things there are essentially are the most common things. I don't think there's any. I mean, I can't think of anything that hurts my feelings.
Tyra.
Tower's the only one that can hurt my feelings. But that's not light.
Yeah, I see you. I mean, I see you get your feelings hurt.
But you.
Yeah, and when you thought Rick had bummed you out in poker, you like flip.
Yeah, but that was a flip out. That wasn't.
That was more like total rage. No, like, well, that's a couple times you said somebody will say something, and you'll say you just negated my entire.
Yeah, but it doesn't hurt my feelings.
He just thinks, what a jerk.
What an asshole. The only time I've seen this in regards to Tyler, if you guys break off for a moment or something, you get weird.
Yeah, I mean, I am too.
So you lose a poker game.
Yeah. Stop him.
But it doesn't have anything, it doesn't have any form. It's not a predictable form to me. You know, what, I mean, I could care less if I'm excluded. I mean, that's like, the things. I would care less if I'm yelled at.
Yells at you.
I could care less whether somebody takes me seriously or not. I could care less whether somebody's rude to me or not.
What?
Sorry. I mean, it's. But you understand what? And it's not me. I mean, it's the office. I mean, if any one of you were had the same office and had gone through the same things, then
you expect those things, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Huh?
I mean, don't you expect those things? They go with.
Yeah, but my point is that whatever happened, whatever would have taken place in you,
will
take place in you. These things will go away.
Well, yeah. I mean, so much of this has happened already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible. Enough.
Yeah.
And think about the things that made you feel bad vis-a-vis the world. I mean, think about not too many years ago how what hurt your feelings out in the world.
Sure.
The list would have been endless.
Stuff. Yeah.
There's something just exploded in my face. These words that I wrote down here, all those words are contained within dying to self. When you find yourself ridiculed, when you find your ideas slighted, when you find yourself ignored. I mean, that's amazing. Each one of those things that hurts my feelings is something that...
It's an aspect of dying self. But I kind of suspected this, that there would be like a corporate identity. I mean, that there's a thing among all of us, you know, that almost makes it a one thing instead of 15 different people's stuff.
Yeah.
Go to Leviticus. I want to show you this thing, trespass. Why?
It's different.
Why do you think that? And you know, without giving me some, I want the only word because mine is pedantic answer. Why would cruelty to an animal hurt your feelings?
I really don't know. It's been a big deal with me ever since I can remember. In fact, my childhood aspiration was to be a veterinarian because of it.
Yeah, but my point is it was with me too. I mean, I would die if somebody was mean to a dog, or I would die if somebody... What is the mechanics that caused it to remain or to be strengthened in you? It's illustrative if we can get to it without removing the emotional baggage.
The only thing I can think of, and this probably sounds stupid, but maybe it's it. I feel like animals are an innocent victim to man. Isn't that really,
Yeah, but that's intellectual. An intellectual phenomenon like that will never cause a feeling of emotional betrayal. You feel betrayed, almost. It's a personal thing.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So it can't be an intellectual phenomenon. It has to be something else.
I wish I could answer. I have no idea. I mean, I really don't know. It's a big deal with me. It has been for a long time. I've brought it up before.
I know. And we've talked about it. But I think what it is that you've invested, you invest more in an animal than you do in a human being because the animal isn't threatening you.
I think there's probably a lot of truth to that because I can see a person get hurt and it doesn't affect me nearly as much as it does when I see an animal.
Right.
Hurt.
But I think it's because emotionally and intellectually and in your heart, you have, for a thousand reasons, invested yourself in those things that don't make any demands on you. And so therefore you can have great protestations of love and affection, and it never costs you anything. It's an easy, it's sloppy agape. But you understand?
Yeah.
Now pets can be, and animals can be a revelator with regard to showing us what unconditional love is, but not if we're in the position of the pet. Do you understand? Anyway, look at chapter 6 of Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, and any of these that a man doeth sinning therein, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty, and he shall restore that which he took away violently. Now, I want you to, if you can hear this, each one of those kind of weird things, to lie unto the neighbor, or in that which is delivered to him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost and lieth, or sweareth falsely. Those seven things which sound really innocent here are contained all trespass. And they also, if you look at it, contain all the things that we just went through. Don't you think that's weird? It doesn't say anything about adultery or murder or... But if you think about all the possible... When you think about trespasses or sins, if you want to pluralize the concept, you think about robbery and murder and rape and pillage. And you think about capital offenses when you think about trespasses. These... Do you understand? I think I'm talking to the ceiling.
No. What did you just read? Leviticus 6, 2 and 3.
Thanks. I mean, if I were going to make a list of the trespasses that was going to be the eternal law, I mean, I'd have some rape and pillage and murder down here. And I'd have some thieving and I wouldn't have a lot of... Huh?
I said, oh, I see what you're saying.
Some yelling at.
I'd have yelling at. Hot seats.
Yes.
No, I'd have a big long list of...
Of the bad things that you do.
Yeah, icky bad. You try to list everything, and then whatever you missed is what people would go ahead and do all the time.
Okay, now, but here, in this which is Torah, in this which is, we are to look beneath the writings, beneath the words to see the mystery... The listing of the trespasses vis-a-vis the trespass offering, it has these rather innocuous things about lying or not being faithful to something that you're keeping or in fellowship or in these kinds of things. Why?
Because those other things flow from these.
That's right. In fact, all of the other things fit into those, but even more so, they all fit into one thing. Without exception, every time the word trespass is used in the scripture, it means a break in faith. It means faith has been broken.
Wow.
And these things here are just a few of the illustrative things that take place as it's like there's one thing that's wrong, faith has been broken. There are these seven things that then are the symptoms, and then everything that the world calls the bad stuff is the symptom of the symptoms.
Yeah.
Do you really understand this? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Every trespass is a break in faith. If it wasn't a break in faith, then, you understand, then the law would have failed because it would have given us a possibility of not trespassing. I think I'm talking to the ceiling tonight. What's going on?
That last thing you said, I didn't get it.
Some of these, I just don't understand what they're talking about here. I'm kind of having a hard time. You know, or found that which was lost on life. Okay. Understand more.
You see?
It's like when you keep a lie in and then it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Now, let's investigate this thing. That the idea that a trespass is a break in faith. In fact, it's the word ma'al in the Hebrew, M-A-A-L. And it's used, it's if you want to check it out in your Strong's Concordance, it's 4603 in the Hebrew Chaldee.
Right. That's
trespass?
And it's ma'al, and it means trespass. And it means... It's either trespassed or transgressed or, you know, committed wrong. Let me show you where it is a few times. Go to Joshua 7. You guys remember the Achan seat?
Yeah.
Joshua 7. Now, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Now, committed a trespass, in the accursed thing. And it's a ma'al. And what did they do? They hid something. Okay? Let's go to... Well, there's a whole bunch of them, but let's go to Joshua 22. You understand what he's saying? They wiped out a whole bunch. Israel lost a battle at Ai because of the trespass of Achan. And it was said that Israel, all of Israel, committed this trespass. There was a break in faith in all of Israel because of the act of one man. And that, from God's standpoint, there's only the one trespass.
Break in faith.
A break in faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. I get the feeling that I'm talking to air tonight. It's just something is going into... Who's not here? Who's somewhere else?
I work till 1:30 in the morning. I'm kind of tired. But...
Okay, Joshua 22. We think of the word believe as a word that that defines a state of being. In other words, it's like it's either a philosophy or a state of being or we essentially make the word believe into a noun. You understand that? In the scriptures, the word believe is never a noun, it's always a verb. And it's always it's either pistos or apistos. It's total going one direction or total going the other direction. And so faith and belief has to have to do with going towards something as opposed to having achieved something or have something. The question is, are you going towards something or are you going away from something? That's what belief means. It's, and it, if you can hear this, it'll cause your life to be 1,000 times simpler. Okay. Screw it. I don't care what people say. I know I am going towards faith. I'm going towards the Father. I'm not there by my standards. My God, I screw up so bad I don't even believe it. But I don't worry about it because I know I'm going towards the Father. That's what faith is. It's pistos. Now, in times when I'm going inward and analyzing myself and analyzing whether or not I'm in faith or not, then I am apistos. I am without faith. I am going at the speed of light in the other direction. How do I change directions? By saying, well, yeah, but it's okay. I'm going back. I don't want to go that way anymore. Right. That's why, how far is your sin or your trespass forgiven? As far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? That's what you have to see. If the test was tonight, we'd all fail. Because the act of teaching causes you to think about yourself. Okay, Joshua 22. Do you all remember who Phineas is?
No.
Was that the guy with the sword?
Oh, he's the guy who stabbed those two cops who were messing around.
Yeah, he's the guy that made that forged this sword that I got transfixed by in Austria.
That's right. And David did it.
Huh?
Around the world. Phineas days
was Phineas. I was waiting for Phineas time.
Do you know what they're talking about?
No, I don't.
Around the World in 80 Days.
It's a movie called Around the World in 80 Days.
Characters in Around the World in 80 Days. Now they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Well,
really?
This is cultural.
It's a cauldron, Daryl.
Phineas is like my hero.
Always hero. Okay.
What?
Always
hero. Always hero.
Look at Audemy.
Okay, Phineas. Okay, do you remember there are 2.5 tribes on the other side of the Jordan here?
Okay. Who was it that made the hang?
There's Gad, Reuben, and half of Manasseh.
Yeah, you like it over here, see you later.
There's 2.5 tribes over here, right? So what these guys did, they got together and they built their own altar.
Oh.
So they had to commute.
They built their own altar, and when they saw what they had done, that they'd built their own altar, Phineas was appointed to be the spokesman, to go have a chat with them.
That's probably why he likes
it. Huh?
That's probably why he likes it.
And they took...
Yeah, only wants to like guys who goes and has meetings with other
guys. Don't, I hate meetings.
I know, that's what I'm saying. This meeting doesn't sound like it's going to be a very good one.
Sounds like one of these where they chop people's heads off.
Or it parts.
Not a meeting in the traditional sense of the word.
It'll probably turn out just like one of your meetings will.
He's never stabbed somebody while they were doing it.
It's
like one of your meetings that starts with, you don't really believe that.
I would be so sure.
Yeah, I take it back.
Can we get back to the holy words?
Yes, please. Right.
So,
Ed.
Just going over to talk with
you. Right. Now, I want you to notice that this chapter is very important to Ed. Go to the end, go to the last verse of the 22nd chapter. Joshua 22:34. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed.
That should be a witness.
It's the false altar.
It's the false altar.
Oh, there you go.
That's great.
Oh,
that's
great.
That's
not
what my Bible says.
But Phineas, after Phineas investigated it, he said the altar was all right because they weren't trying to use it as a replacement to burn their own burnt offerings. It was there as a reminder so that the people there that were living in the wrong place and their unbelief could be reminded to go to the real altar. That's why it's there.
I gotta remember that fact. for the next
one. Say, somebody was really thinking on their feet.
I'm going to say that.
Let me explain why.
It wasn't the real author. It was a reminder.
It was
a
reminder.
It was a type of the
integration. Yeah,
what is that? We turn this over just to see.
Okay.
We need someone that liked the
22 verse, let's start in verse 16. And anyway, Phineas is taking, what Phineas is doing is he's taking the leaders of the 10 tribes that are over here. The half of Manasseh over here and everybody else except Gad and Reuben. And he's going to go have a meeting. They're going to take him over here and visit. Okay? And that's what they're doing. So let's go to verse 16. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass, okay, this is Phineas talking to these guys. What trespass is this that you have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord and that you have builded you an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Again, he called the building of that altar a trespass, a ma'al, a breaking of faith. Do you understand that? And he goes in verse 20, did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing? Again, did not they do it at Baal Peor, where he took the sword and went through both of them? So we got three trespasses here that we need to pay attention to. We've got the sin of Baal Peor. That's where he's... That's the one, yeah, that's where he took the sword and stuck it through him. We have the one at Achan, and then we have this one. All of them, they call it a... The word, Torah, calls the act of what they're doing a trespass. It's a technical word that has to conform to one of the trespass offerings we're talking about. But it is a break of faith. It's a fundamental break of faith. In the case of Achan, they did it. He did it because he needed, one person in all of Israel thought they needed something other than what was there at that moment. And so they hid something away for themselves. In this case, the visible, the perceived purpose of this was to be an alternative altar. It was another golden calf that became a trespass. It was a break of faith from which all things that the book of Leviticus calls the trespass, the seven things, and which all things that you and the world will call trespasses or sins will occur. It's because there's that one singular, in one moment of time, a break of faith. You're going, fine, everybody here, no matter what condition we're in, no matter how screwed up we are, we as a body have our face set to go towards Jerusalem. In a moment of time, somebody stops and goes back the other way. That's a break of faith for which all other sins will occur. You got it?
And he looks at us exactly the same way he looked at them.
Amen. Okay, now, there's nothing more written about this word, Ma'al, until the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel is covered with this word Ma'al, the break of faith. And the reason the book of Ezekiel is written to your high places. It's vital that you answer the question that Tyra brought up. I.e., sometimes I don't feel like I believe. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is never at a moment in time do you feel like you believe. The issue is always, am I facing the right direction? The point. That doesn't take any effort. That doesn't take any Bible scholar to face the right direction. That doesn't take anybody saying, well, I'm afraid of Oli. There's nothing that can keep you from facing the right direction. That's why it's so vital to understand what trespass is. The sin... well, we'll get to that later. Let's go to Ezekiel 14. Now, well, I'll just tell you. The reason, now let's go, don't, no, we have to see it because it's important. Go to Deuteronomy 32. Start in verse 48.
Deuteronomy what?
32. Okay. The whole of chapter 32 from verse 1 through verse 43 is a song that Moses wrote that for which it's the song of Moses. It's the rejoicing of what's taken place. Israel has passed through they've come out of Egypt. They've gotten the law. They've gotten the tabernacle. They've passed through the wilderness. They're about to walk in and to inherit the promise in all of its fullness. So, and Moses is about to die. And so he writes this song. And then, verse 44, and Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hosea, the son of Nun, and Moses made an end of speaking all the words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your day in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, and now that's to Israel. Now he's speaking to Moses, and he's saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up. And be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered into his people, because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go there unto the land which I gave unto the children of Israel. And what did he do?
He hit the rock.
Instead of speaking to the rock.
What's the stuff about the waters of Meribah Kadesh?
Oh, that's the waters of Meribah. That's where the waters were bitter. That's where he did it. Instead of continuing, well, anyway.
It was a break of faith, though.
It was a break.
He didn't think he could do it.
It was a break of faith. He transgressed, and because of that trespass, he was not allowed to enter. I mean, he had to do it anyway because he was the type of the law. The law could not enter the promise. And it was replaced by the law's replacement was Joshua, which the word Joshua in the Hebrew is Yeshua, which is Jesus. Well, so. All right. Let's go to Ezekiel now. Ezekiel 14. Now, chapter 14 of Ezekiel is about people that go and consult things about what's going to happen to them tomorrow.
Like astrologers.
Well, yeah, but that's the obvious one. But it's like financial planners.
Career counselors.
Oh. Okay, then go on down to verse 12. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, again, trespassing, grievously, the word trespass there is ma'al, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, will break the staff of bread thereon, and I will send a famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Now, why should God care whether or not you play with a Ouija board? Or why should God care whether or not you consult familiar spirits? Or why should God care whether or not you consult astrologers. What difference would it make to God?
It would cause you to not successfully complete the journey. It would cause you to fail.
I'm not praising him.
You're turning to a false law.
You never praise him.
You're turning to a false law.
But why is that wrong?
So that you may be equal with God with your own law that you have found out.
Well, it puts you in a place where there's no faith, where there's the break of faith. If you go to, I don't think care if you consult some kind of chart to say what kind of personality you are. When you go to that, that thing becomes, that becomes an interface between you and God, and it causes you not to be able to abandon yourself. Why is thievery wrong? Why is stealing wrong? Because it puts you in a place of having no faith, and you're depending on something other than God for the next thing. I mean, no matter what it is, no matter what one of these trespasses are, no matter what one of the serious trespasses are, they all come down to that singular issue, the break of faith. It's vital for you and for your mental health from now on to live in this state of abandonment. Because once you've heard these things and understand them, to return to the old way is to return, it's a dog returning to its own vomit. You can't, I mean, this has got to affect the way you live. We must repair the breach of faith. We must repair that break where faith has been broken. And we repair it by seeing the completion that he finished. We see that by him making the trespass offering, he has repaired that broken faith. You understand that? I mean, God doesn't care about all this stupid stuff. He cares about faith. He cares. And what's the thing that will keep you from faith? The thing that will keep you from faith is an agenda of your own. And the thing that will keep you from faith is consulting prophecies other than of consulting any kind of prophecy of what's going to happen tomorrow will keep you from faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Go to Romans 14 a minute. We'll close it there. Go to verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned, if he eat because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you doubt, he that doubteth is damned. That's pretty heavy. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's pretty heavy. So everything that we're studying here is a breach, as if to repair that breach or breaking of faith. That's all a trespass is. Everywhere and in all places in the scripture, a trespass is a break of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Let's leave it at that.